జయం విశుపాల పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గౌగోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ బూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతిదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం వరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరత చాతేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయం. తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైతవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్ అవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్. నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావా పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారవేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకుణిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం న కనికాపి కాపికావి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీపదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini Srimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Namah Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harikado Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanave Namah Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrasangham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vatalaye Shamanisham Hridibhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venum Shamaloyam Kumaraga Veda Vedyaparam Brahma Bhasadam Puradomam Mugam Karoji Vajalam Pangam Lankhayade Girim Yalkrubadamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishnaya Namah Srimad Radhikaya Namah Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangeertanam Govinda Govinda So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Krishna is talking to Uddhava about the process of yoga systems. Particularly, you can see that Uddhava Vadesham, instructions to Uddhava began on the 7th chapter. But important messages are from the 10th chapter, particularly the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th and now the 14th chapter. These chapters, 10 to 14 chapters are the core of this Ekadasha Skandha particularly because you can see Tattvam was spoken in the 10th. You'll notice there that what one should perform, what sadhana one should perform for self-realization, that was spoken on in the 10th chapter. And also Krishna established there that the soul is experiencing this bondage because of the association with the upadhi. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence. Due to the association with the upadhi, the soul experiences bondage. That is what was discussed in the 10th chapter. Immediately after that, in the 11th chapter, Krishna talked about what is bondage and what is liberation. He mentioned that. And the symptoms of those who are in bondage and those of those who are in liberated state and bhakti. That's all we discussed in the 11th chapter. When immediately after that, Krishna talked about the importance of salsangam and sajjana samsargam and gave numerous examples to explain that how through the association self-realization comes. Through association, how self-realization comes and how one should execute karma anushtanam. Karma means actually different anushtanam for performing their activities in this world, karma anushtanam. All that Krishna covered in the 12th chapter. And then immediately after that, Krishna came to the platform of knowledge and started speaking about knowledge through the Hamsavadaram. That's what we hear in the 13th chapter. Isn't it? Krishna appeared as a Hamsam and spoke purely about knowledge, self-realization process. And he also mentioned how to separate out between the subtle body and the sense objects. How to separate it out. This is what was discussed between the four Kumaras and Hamsam. They discussed that. That's the 13th chapter. And then now on the 14th chapter we have seen how Krishna spoke about bhakti, why bhakti is necessary. Without bhakti, no yoga system will work, whether it is jnanam, karmam, yogam, no matter whatever it is. And at the end of that bhakti, how for developing bhakti, a mechanical process which is very much based on yoga practices, that was spoken. That is that dhyana yogam what we saw there, isn't it? That's where we stopped before. So we finished with that in that Dhyana Yogam chapter like that. Bhakti combined with Dhyanam. Because when Krishna talked about Bhakti, Uddhava asked that question, how to develop that Bhakti. Krishna gave this solution of developing through the process of Dhyanam, meditation, which is a very complex process and requires proper practices, a lot of commitment and many things. We'll talk about that. But Dhyanam, as such, you can see what we went through the last few verses. Krishna gave an elaborate description on the Dhyanam process, how to execute that Dhyanam. So through Dhyanam, Bhakti can develop. That is also an important point, through that Dhyanam process. That's what we have seen. Now here, if you go into that chapter, you will see there something important. That is, Krishna says there that the while finishing that chapter, the last two verses, what we were discussing, that Dhyanam process was spoken. Krishna has spoken about the Dhyana Yogam. And in that Dhyana Yogam, we have seen the first of all, Krishna mentioned in that Dhyana Yogam, just to go back to that again, when Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna said there how to first of all stay in a proper way, how to sit down properly, how to be properly seated for performing sama asana asinam, those verses, verse 32. Sama asana asinam samagayo yathasugam hasta ulsanga madhaya sunasagra kridekshana. Krishna says there how one should sit down properly, that sitting posture, how to sit properly, that was spoken. Then how to keep the body straight, and then how to keep the hands together, and then sona asagra kridekshana, how to keep the attention on the tip of the nose, on the tip of the nose. Eyes should be focused on the tip of the nose. All those things he spoke in that verse. In the next verse, Krishna mentioned about the pranayama process. Pranayama, how one should perform the pranayama. All that was spoken in the next verse. That is, pranasya shodhayan margam pura kumbhaka rechakai vibareyanabhishane abhyasanya ajitendriya. Then, after that, he spoke about the two kinds of pranayama. Out of that, the first kind, sakarbha pranayama. Sakarbham, akarbham, there are two kinds. Of sakarbham, what was discussed in the Hridivichanam, the verse 34 and 35 also. That through pranayamam, how one can get control of the flow of air inside the body. All the control of flow of air inside the body, the five pranams. Those was discussed there. And then after that, Krishna says, dhyanam begins after that. There he spoke about, that talked about that lotus flower, which is hanging down, it should be brought up, and every petal should open up, and in the middle of that, one has to meditate upon the moon, in the middle of that the sun, in the middle of the sun the fire. And in the fire, the form of Krishna in the Vishnu form, the four-handed form, that is what Dheya Surupam, that means, that is from verse 38 onwards, it is that form of Vishnu that one should meditate upon, from verse 38 onwards, that's what Krishna is talking about. 38, 39, 40, 41, all that is about Krishna's form, the form of Vishnu, in the middle of all this, what to meditate upon. Then at the end of that, in 32, Krishna talked about that how one should take attention away from the sense objects, all the mind, in senses, everything, and mind should be controlled by the intelligence and all, everything. Just, it is a yoga process. It is not the jnani's process. It's a yoga process. How yogi, through yogis and jnani's, what is the difference? Difference is this. Yogi try to concentrate everything at one point, like the tip of a needle. He wants to bring the mind to extreme subtle control. That's what the yogi does with the mind. Jnani, what does he do? He completely wipes the mind away. He completely wipes the mind off. This is the difference between Jnani and Yogi. This is the difference between Jnani and Yogi. Yogi try to bring the mind to such a subtle level and bring it to just like a tip of a needle, and that it cannot expand anymore. In such a way it contracts and comes to so sushmam, extremely subtle it becomes for a yogi. For a jnani, he completely wipes the mind away. Mind is the problem, whether he is a yogi or a jnani or anyone. But so to get rid of the mind, Jnani's process is different. They completely ignore the mind, don't give any attention to the mind, completely throw it away from inside, not giving any attention to the mind. This is where most of the people find it difficult to understand that spiritual life is not with mind and intelligence. We all make this mistake. We hear classes, immediately the mind goes and touches that. When the mind touches, doubts will come up. When the doubts comes up, then you get an answer, there will be millions of questions after that. It goes on and on and on like that. And then getting nowhere at the end. Mind and intelligence has nothing to do with the process of Krishna consciousness. So, therefore it's mentioned here that yogi and jnani has two different processes, but in our case, because it's yoga margam that Krishna is talking about here, not the jnani's process, therefore he says there, dharayed, he says here, tal sarvavyavakam chittam agrishayatra dharayed. So, first we focus the attention all different parts of Vishnu's form. And eventually it has to come to one part of Krishna's body, Vishnu's body, and attention should be on that. That's why it says here, tat sarvivyapakam chittam agrishayatra dharayen, and nanyani chindayet bhoyam susmidam bhavayen mukham. And generally most of the devotees end up their attention on the smiling face of Krishna. On the smiling face of Krishna. Bhui anyani na chindayet. And one has to, the yogi has to constantly meditate, absorb his mind on that, Krishna's smiling face, in other words. So then from 44-45, those two verses, we have to start understand that verse a little bit more to understand the next chapter, because it's connected to the next chapter. So what happens is, tatra labdhavadam chittam akrishya vyomni dharayed tacha tektva mad aroham na kinchid abhi chindayed. Krishna says that tatra labdhavadam chittam, then once the mind has come for, it's got complete concentration on that, then the dharana should happen. Dharana means, the word dharana comes from dhara. Dhara means, so it's like if you have a pot full of oil in that, and there is a bottom, there is a small hole, the oil will continuously flow through that hole, isn't it? Continuously flow. That means there is a continuity, without any break. Similarly, in meditation also, dharana is like that. After you have reached that state of completely attention on the smiling face of Krishna, then we have to be so attentive that it doesn't break. It has to continue, continuously it should flow. That dharana. Dharana must continuously flow. Tacha tektva mad aroham na kinchid abhi chindayed. Then once it has happened there, then quietly we will move on to the next phase. What is that next phase? Evam samahida madhar amay valpana malpmani vijashte mai sarvarna. Verse 45. Jodhir jodhishi samyudam. So, what will happen now is, that form on which you have meditated upon, that will disappear. Automatically it will disappear. When it disappears, it becomes a sky there. It becomes a sky. What does that mean? It means, up to this point, your concentration was on a name and a form. Name and a form. So for meditation, we have taken this form of Vishnu's four-handed form. And after focusing on that form, at a particular stage, that form will disappear. That's mentioned in the third canto also. In the third canto also, you will see that. Same thing Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi in that meditation process. So form will disappear and then there is a sky. Sky means space. Sky means space. So in that case, meditating upon Vishnu form means what? Means the mind becomes that form. Mind becomes that form. So so once that we lose that, this is in a higher state. Of course, one has to reach that state may take months or years for some people. It depends on the person's success rate on the effort. So it is all step by step. For example, this won't happen overnight or one day's practice. First of all, to get that first stage itself, samasanam asinam, to sit properly, that may take months to get that practice, how to sit properly. And then to control the body, to stay erect, stay straight, and then that may take months. Then pranayama may take quite a few months, or sometimes years to get that control of air in the body. After that, when one starts the meditation process, Krishna is saying that the one we have to first get that grip on the form of that lotus flower inside, and then the lotus flower has to come up and it has to open up, the petals has to come out. And in the middle of that meditation of the moon, that may take a lot of time. Then in the middle of that moon, the meditation on the sun, that will take time. So it's all a gradual practice and practice for a long period of time. But it is a process which people do follow who are interested in that direction. And then the form of Vishnu. And now Krishna is saying eventually that form will disappear. So up to this time, we were depending on the name and the form, isn't it? Material world, in the creation, everything what we perceive is name and form. The Namarupam it is called. Namarupam. Name and form, that is what life is, isn't it? All, everywhere we look around, it is name and form. Some particular form and a name to it, attached to that. Whatever it may be. Namarupam, they are called in the Shastram. So, once it has come to the sky state, then what happens at that time? There will be no thoughts coming in. No thoughts will develop. That's what Krishna says in the last verse. Tacha tektva madaroho na kinchidavi chindayet. Chinda or thoughts cannot develop at that point. If you have reached that stage, normal situations, thoughts won't come anymore. Practically the mind is under control. It has come under control. No, in other words, what it means is that when that sky is there, what does that mean? There is no chittavritti at that stage. When that sky develops inside. And after a while, if you stay like that, the sky will also disappear. Sky will also disappear. What does that mean? The disappearance of sky means, you remember the covering of the soul, avaranam. Vikshepam and avaranam, two things. Avaranam has gone. That's what it means. This is a yoga margam. In yoga margam, it is like that. When the covering goes away, when the avaranam goes away, it means that the sky has disappeared. So at that time, what that person is experiencing, that is a soul. That is the soul. That is identity as Atma Swarupam, Atma Bhavam. They call it in different ways. Now, that state, the mind, is not functioning anymore. There's no more mind at that stage. No more mind. People are always frightened about that, isn't it? Oh, if I won't have a mind, what's going to happen? Mind is not something what we want to have. Mind is something what we want to escape from. So then in that situation, Krishna says here that whenever we were performing that meditation, he said that all the time we were meditation was going on, it was jadam. Jadam means based on the matter, isn't it? The lotus flower, the sun, the moon, the fire, they're all on a jadam. It is all in that state, still, the mind is still in that state. But when the mind has disappeared completely, that because only when you have a mind, you have something else existing. When the mind is gone, it doesn't exist anymore. Another thing doesn't exist. So this nama rupam is actually created by the mind. Namam and rupam, name and form, is created by the mind. You see, it's created by the mind. So once we have reached that stage, which is known as, practically it is called a samadhi state, that but the samadhi state will not stay continuous. It will not stay continuous. There is also little problems. So what happens is, from samadhi state, one can come back into the into our Jagrat state again, But the difference is, when they come back to Jagrat state and then go back to samadhi state again, they don't have to start from the beginning again. They won't fall back into the lowest state where first we have to start with sitting posture or controlling the pranayama and all that. That won't happen. That won't be necessary. But they won't stay in that samadhi state permanently. They'll fall back a few stages before than that. Because this is all a stage by stage process, isn't it? So pranayamam state, all that they may not have to repeat. They would have got the control of air inside the body and things like that. So what Krishna says here, that avaranam has gone. Covering potency has gone. So all the vikalpam has gone. All the vikalpam has gone. Vikalpam means, you know, chittavritti inside, vikalpam, that has gone. All the vikalpam has gone. Mind has gone. But still you may come back to Jagrat state. It's a very interesting state, isn't it? There is no mind, there is no thoughts coming in, but you are in the Jagrat state. You are in. For us now, Jagrat state is mind, nothing but mind, isn't it? Through mind only everything is happening. But in the yogi's case, in Jagrat state, after he has reached that Samadhi state, when he falls back, he still have to go back to Samadhi again. In the beginning, come and go, comes and goes, comes and goes. Reason for that is Prarabdham is not over yet. That's why. If Prarabdham is finished, then he will stay in that state. But because Prarabdham is not over, Prarabdham still pulls him back into the body, into the vacant state again. So, but what has happened is, when he comes back, he is aware that although he is woken up and is in the Jagrat state and his eyes are open and he is in the Jiva state still, but he will know one thing, that all what he is seeing through his eyes is not real. Is not real for him. Because he already knows that everything what he sees is not a real thing. That is his realization at that stage. So you may ask the question, is he not seeing through the eyes? Yes, but the eye is also not a real thing. This is the interesting thing. We are seeing things through eyes now and think they are all real things, isn't it? The yogis are saying, when they come to the Samadhi and they come back, when they start seeing things, they are not real for him. It is a state of consciousness inside. Completely different. Difficult to explain that, but it is experience of the yogis. That's what they are saying there. That's what Krishna is saying here. That he says, evam samahidam adher mame valpana malmani. He says, evam samahidam adher. That at that point, all he knows is me in the everywhere it is me. Wherever he is looking, he is only seeing me, which means he is only in the soul, present in everything. That's all he is seeing. Almanam almani. That's a word Krishna is using. Evam samahidam adir mameva almanam almani. Look at that verse. Evam samahidam adi mameva almanam almani. One who has come to that stage, he has sees me everywhere, and that soul who is present in everyone, exactly like Jodhir Jodhishi Samyutam. He says Jodhir Jodhishi Samyutam. So here, how can that happen? This question can come. It can happen. For example, when you wake up from the dream state, you know very well it's not real. For you, in the vacant state, it's not real. And you don't desire to have something what you have dreamt about, isn't it? Because you know you won't get it. So, just like that. Similarly, this vacant state also, in the same way like the dream state, you will experience in the same way, that this is also not real. The vacant state is also not real. That understanding will come. Now, in our ignorance, we are thinking vacant state is real, dream state is a dream. But what Krishna is saying to us is, that as much as you see, just like in the dream state, you don't think of anything as a real thing. You see, it's a dream. You leave it like that. But in the vacant state, when the yogi comes back to the vacant state, he knows it's like another dream going on in the vacant state. He has come to that state of realization. So, Krishna says here that that up to this state one can reach, and that he has spoken in a way that that he has explained here. So, but prior to reaching this state, Krishna mentions there also an important thing, that yoga process Krishna has spoken about in detail here, which is difficult to practice, but there could be people who are trying to do it and they have succeeded in that also. At different levels they have reached. But many people have gone through Yoga Margam. It's not that something that's not possible. Many people have succeeded in that. But in order to come to that dhyanam state, one has to be free, one has to have a pure heart. In other words, what they call it as manashuddhi, chitta-shuddhi. Chitta should be there. So in other words, only when the sankalpam and vikalpam has gone away from inside, only then you can remember, you can focus on Krishna inside the heart, isn't it? So that is where bhakti comes. Bhakti is necessary to purify the subtle body first. Even if you want to practice dhyana yogam, It is necessary to have bhakti to clear up, purify, to clear the heart, to clean the heart in order to perform the dhyanam, in order to perform the meditation. So normally, only then you can remember that form. Otherwise, form will go. Why the form goes? If you try hard to concentrate on one form, the form doesn't stay. Form quickly leaves, isn't it? Reason for that is three things. Dhyayam, Dadha, and the world. Three things. That means the Jiva, Ishvara, and the Jagat, the world. Only when Jiva and Ishvara exist, dhyanam can happen. Dhyanam can happen only when Jiva and Ishvara exist. If the world is there, dhyanam will go. That's the point. When the world gets in, then there won't be any dhyanam. There will be no meditation. So that is why it said only dhyayam. Dhyayam is the object of meditation, which is Vishnu form. And the person who is meditating, Dadha, who is meditating, only they should remain. The third one should not stay. World should go. World should go means what? Chittavritti should go. Sankalpam, Vikalpam must go. And only inside subtle body, when it's purified from the Sankalpam and Vikalpam, only in that case all this dhyanam can happen. So that is why prior to this dhyanam process, Krishna talked about the process of Shravanam, isn't it? Hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, in that way purifying inside to understand that everything relationship with material world is all ignorance, ajnanam it is, and to free ourselves from the thoughts related to the material life. So as soon as mind, immediately Krishna says, once all the chittavritti has stopped, then nirvanam comes to him. Nirvana means that state which he mentions in the next verse, he says there, isn't it? The next verse is, Dhyani netam sutivrena yunjado yogino manaha samyasya tyashu nirvanam dravya jnana kriya brahma. So dravyam jnanam kriya brahma, which we talked about before. He gets released from all the three. Dravya brahma, jnana brahma, kriya brahma. And he stayed in the state of that nirvana state comes to him. So there's a lot of things about this. That when that happens, that when he reaches that nirvanam state, he won't have any mind anymore because there's no thoughts coming in. Chittavritti has completely stopped. This body is manomayam, isn't it? Because annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam. Annam and pranamayam is prior to that. And they come from the mind. Therefore, you can see in the sequence, annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam. From manomayam comes pranamayam and annamayam. So material body is also a product of the mind. And which means that this body is a product of the mind, which means the family is also a product of the mind. Family life is a product of the mind. The world is also a product of the mind. It's all due to the mind only. We have all these relationships in this world with others, family life and all kinds of relationships in this world. It's all from the mind. It is happening because of the presence of the mind. So what Krishna says here is that once the mind goes away, all of them will go. Family will go, society will go, social life will go, everything will go. There's nothing after that. So at that time, that individual person who has reached that stage, for him, there's no happiness and distress anymore. Who experiences happiness and distress? Through the mind only. If there's no mind, there's no happiness, there is no distress either. And in the Yoga Margam, they call this, it's also Shadurmi. Shadurmi means the six things. Urmi means a wave. There are six waves which attacks us. This is all from the yoga side, from the Yoga Margam. Krishna is saying, the six things are hunger and thirst. Two. Then hankering and lamentation, shokam and moham. And then old age and death. Old age and death. These six things are in relationship with the gross body. In relationship with the, they are functions of the gross body, demands from the gross body. In other words, body and the mind, in other words. Hunger and thirst from the body, and hankering and lamentation from the mind, and old age and death again for the body. These six are important. They are called Shadurmi.
Urmi dekhone. Urmi means a wave, six waves constantly attacking us throughout life, isn't it? So these six waves have to come to an end. Once he has reached this state, the six waves are not there in that body anymore. In that state, in other words, he has got the material body, he has got the desires, but it's not disturbing him anymore. That's the state. Suppose if you ask him, would he not like to have the feast? He might answer you like this, that, well, I'm not feeling hungry. I don't want to eat now. This will be the response. I'm not thirsty. And sometimes he may have a slight desire to eat, and he may eat once in a few days or once in a few weeks. You can see this happens in all processes. It happens. The Shadurmi has to shows that when the Shadurmi stops, then you can see that you are control on the body is very good. Control on the body is very good. You can see Goswamis and Vrindavanam, they were like that. They have reached that stage. Shadurmi has left them. And Shadurmi has gone means, if you read about Sanatana Goswami's life, you will see there, every few days, he used to take a little bit of milk or a little butter. And that too, if somebody offers him, he will take it. Otherwise, he won't even take that. What does that show? It shows the body is there, but the desires have gone from inside to eat, into drink and things like that. Shadurmi has gone. All great devotees, great jnanis, great yogis, they all go through the same phase. It's nothing much different with yoga processes. It's the same with all yoga processes. They all go through the same phase. So Shadurmi has come and Shadurmi has gone away from. The Shadurmi is a very popular word among the yogis because for them, they try to get that state as quickly as possible for them. So that is to shows to us that the Shadurmi has left them, and when this six has gone, you have escaped to a large extent, isn't it? But then you don't have to go to work, to earn, to eat, to sleep and all that. All problems are gone with that. But there's one more interesting thing there, that there may still be some traces of karma still left in them. That's why they are unable to leave the world. They have to stay back till that prarabdham is over, until some karma may be left behind in them. They are not 100% escaped from here still. They are very much out of the grip of the Maya to quite a large extent, but still there is something left behind. So that is why if you look at their body, you will see that they are not going to get grey anymore, no more grey hair, no more teeth going. All this will stop at that stage. But then, when does that happen? It only happens when the Shadurmi has left them. So, whatever condition the body was there at that time, they will appear like that till death. There won't be any change in the body after that. Suppose most of the time it happens in the old age, isn't it? So by then, most of the things, body has already gone grey, and already some teeth is gone, and already the skin is showing its old age symptoms. So whichever state it is, it will stay in that state. There will not be any more changes after that, because the Shadurmi has gone away. Shadurmi has gone away. So, but after that point, there won't be any changes. Once that has come to that stage. So basically, there will be no desire to eat. There will be no desire to eat. So what is important here is whether we have the knowledge of the self, knowledge of the soul, whether we have studied Upanishads or not. What is interesting about whether you have followed all the yoga practice, all the sadhana or not. Krishna is saying here, if you follow this dhyanam process perfectly, you can reach that state. So that's how good it is. This dhyanam process, what Krishna has spoken in this chapter, if you follow that rigidly, and if you make it, you can reach that state of Shadurmi, free from Shadurmis. You can come to that state of yoga. That's the point Krishna is making. Whether you have studied Upanishads or not, whether you have followed the process of Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, of course, Bhakti is necessary there because Bhakti is the one what first purifies inside for Chitta Shuddhi, for purification. So it is independent of the knowledge of the Jnana Margam. But practically, you can see also the determination that is needed to do it. Most of the people would find it very, very hard. What is the reason why we find it very hard? Reason is this. Requires a lot of attention first. And here, when you go into this meditation process, practically all your sense enjoyment has to stop in this world, isn't it? There is no more enjoyment coming from the material world anymore. Finished, all finished. There is no enjoyment coming from the spiritual world also. Because we haven't got anything from there yet. That is a stage, that yoga, dhyanam stage. And because it is like that, most of the people, they will start for some time, after a while they'll drop. They'll bloop. They won't be able to hold on to that for a long period of time. Because you will do only some things in this world if there is something out of it, isn't it? Some happiness comes from that. Only then you can do it. Otherwise it's very hard. That is the difficulty with this dhyana yoga. Everything else is nice. But practically to do it, you start doing it because to do it you have to control the mind. Control the mind means you have to control your eating habits, sleeping habits, all other sense gratification you have to stop, rigidly stop, everything. And then hours and hours you have to practice this with determination. You have to follow this, what Krishna has spoken here. When you start doing that, after a while you will notice that it's not going very far. Very easily you'll get disappointed. And then you will stop. You will stop it at some point. You can't continue with it anymore. Because by then, you start thinking that this is not the process for me. You'll come to that conclusion very easily in Dhyana Margam, Dhyana Yogam. That is the difficulty with this Dhyana Yogam. But there are people who have done that. It's not that it hasn't happened. People have done that. Tatra labdhavaram chittam, Krishna says there, isn't it? In verse 44. Tatra labdhavadam chittam, the word he has used there. That and all these things, the process, that gradual process of sitting properly, pranayamam, then this meditation on that lotus flower inside, upside down, going up, opening it up, the different petals in the middle, meditation on the moon, meditation on the sun, of the sun, meditation of the fire, in the middle of the meditation of the form, all these takes time. It cannot happen over few days. It can take months and years for people to do that. So therefore that difficulty is there in the spiritual life. That's what Krishna says there. So therefore it is mentioned there that experience of a devotee at that stage is quite disturbing for him. He does not know which way to turn. He comes to a stage like that. So in this way we were discussing, and that what is interesting here is Krishna says that tatra labdhavaram chittam, that till you reach that stage, with patience you have to practice it. That is the Krishna's point. With patience you have to practice it, and that is difficult in many cases, isn't it? So after saying that, Krishna says that the one stage he is saying also, that is in the last verse he mentions, that Nirvikalpam stage. Dhyane netram sutirvena yunjado yogino mana samyasya tyasha nirvanam dravyajnana kriyabhramam. So dravyajnana kriyabhramam, that means he doesn't have any more desires. I want to have this, I want to have that. Because when he woke up from the samadhi, he started seeing all these things, what we normally desire in this world to have, anything, he starts seeing them, they are not real. Only when you see something as real, you want to have it, isn't it? Because we think they are all real things. That's why you want to have it. So therefore, such a desire doesn't exist in him. But he keep coming and going back. So the sankalpa, vikalpam, back to Jagrat state, back to samadhi. Back to Jagrat, back to samadhi. It keeps coming and going. And it is in that state he realizes that there is no such thing as birth either. Janmam, another birth, also doesn't exist. So eventually what will happen? One day the body will drop. One day the body will drop. When the body drops, the soul, that consciousness, goes and merges with Brahman. Goes and merges with Brahman. That's a yogi's process. It goes and merges with Brahman. that Brahma Nirvanam, that is what is the word used there, Brahma Nirvanam, will happen to him. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, the same thing Krishna mentions in the 6th chapter. If you look at the verse number 29, that's exactly the same thing. Sarvabhudastamatmanam sarvabhudanijatmani ikshade yoga yukta atma sarvatra samadarshinaham. Verse 29, 6th chapter. There also this Dhyana Yogam, isn't it? So Krishna is saying there, sarvabhudastam atmanam sarvabhudani chatmani ikshade yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshana. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized man sees me everywhere. That is self-realized. Sarvabhudastam atmanam, that is that state. Once he has come to that state of realization, what's happening to him? Wherever he looks, sarvabhudastam atmanam, there is only soul present in everywhere. Sarvabhudastam atmanam, and then sarvabhudani chalpani, all that souls are present inside me. Sarvabhuda, in the soul, in me. It is the same soul which is in me, which is spread everywhere. That oneness of the soul is what they realize at that stage. Sarvabhudastam atmanam sarvabhudani chalpani. That's what Krishna is saying here. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. And then he says, indeed, the self-realized man sees me everywhere. He doesn't see anything else, only Krishna at that time. Krishna means the soul at that time in everywhere. That is that state of realization. That's the state of realization. Now, if you read all these things, you may think that, oh, is this all practical? Is it all going to happen? Or is it just... In order that thought should not happen to us, that's why there's always some people in this world in that state. But we won't know it. There'll be always some people somewhere practicing it. And if we haven't had that on a long period of time, in course of time, at different times throughout the history, there were always somebody in that state to prove to us that what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is not false. Because when you see people in that state, then you can accept it, isn't it? That it is reality, real state it is. Sarvabhudeshu jalpanam sarvabhudeshu jalpani ikshade yoga yuktalma sarvatra samadarshanaha. Everywhere samadarshanam, equal vision. So here are some interesting questions. What will happen is that the little bit of prarabdham will be left behind for them. They don't get easily completely finished with it. Prarabdha visheshram they call it. Prarabdha visheshram means that due to prarabdha karmam, we don't know about our own prarabdha karmam, isn't it? How much is left, how much is balanced still. We all talk about going back home back to Godhead, but without settling the account here, they won't let you out from here easily. Maya won't let us out. She will hold us, and her grip is this prarabdham. So till this, how much prarabdham each of us have, we don't know. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about this prarabdham all the time. All the time you can see this. If you remember Jadabharata's story, he had to come back. Why? Prarabdham. In that dear body, prarabdham. After that, that Brahmana's body, where he was in a Jada state, in a Jadabharata form, he had to stay. Why? Prarabdham. Prarabdham is the reason behind it. So prarabdham, nobody knows how much is left. Till it finishes, he has to stay in this world. Jadabharata was such an exalted soul, but he had to stay back. He himself says that. Arabdham astan abhimana shunyaha, he says there. Arabdham is prarabdham. That prarabdham is not finished, so I have to stay here, he says. He wants to go, but prarabdham is not over. Because he knows if he tries to go back by artificial way, giving up the body in any way, he has to come back again to finish the prarabdham. So he may as well finish the account and go from here. Prarabdham astan abhimana shunyaha. Sri Narada Maharshi also says the same thing, isn't it? When he had, in the forest, when he had Krishna's vision, Krishna says to him, your prarabdham is not over. Stay here. Till that's over, after that you can come. And so he stayed back the rest of the time in life. He didn't want to stay here. He wanted to go back, but he couldn't because of prarabdham. Vritrasura, prarabdham. Chitrakedu's prarabdham is Vritrasura's life. He had to come back in that body. And he says to Sri Parvati at that time, and he was cursed by Sri Parvati, what did he say to her? My dear mother, I'm sure there is some prarabdham for me to finish in this demon's body, Vritrasura's body. I'll happily accept that, because if I don't accept it, I'll have to come back again anyway. So I may as well complete it now. And that is how Chitrakedu accepted that Vritrasura's body when he was cursed by Sri Parvati. So like this, you will see all through the Bhagavatam the history of so many personalities suffering from prarabdham. Sudyumna's story, I mentioned that before, isn't it? Sudyumna, who became 6 months man, 6 months woman. Ultimately, he got so fed up, he got and realized the truth and finished his prarabdham and left. And this change of body or change of his gender was purely due to prarabdham, that he had to go through that. Prarabdham is such a powerful force in us. So little bit of this prarabdham can still be left behind. Even such great souls, exalted personalities who have come to this state, till they reach completely merge with the truth. Till they completely merge with the truth. So there's another reason also. Krishna retains a little bit of prarabdham in them. He does not allow that to completely wipe out. Reason being, if they are in this world, others will observe that. And an example for others to look at, such people who are in that state, but they will still stay in this world so that others will get some inspiration from them to go in that process of yogam. So here the question will be that it is, some funny questions will come now. That is, say for example, that when they have come to this final state of realization, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, they call it. There is no Vikalpam anymore. Vikalpam means this thoughts process, thoughts coming through the mind. That's Vikalpam. Sangalpa Vikalpam, isn't it? Imagining something with the mind, Sangalpam, and from that Vikalpam comes, different thoughts which occurs from that. That's Sangalpa Vikalpam. We must know this mind very well, our own mind, what it is like. That in the mind, thoughts are developing. First of all, it imagines something, and centered around that, thoughts are developing. That imagination is the Sangalpam. The thoughts that is developing around that is the Vikalpam. Say for example, you have some issue comes up in life, some problem, whatever it may be, doesn't matter. Then you start imagining about it, that particular topic. And that is all Sangalpam, centered around that, isn't it? And then from that Sangalpam, there will be a lot of Vikalpam will come. Vikalpam means mind giving you different options. Why should I not do like this? Why should I do like that? Should I do this? Should I not do it? This way, various thoughts will occur centered around that particular thought. So that is called Sangalpa Vikalpam. When completely all the Vikalpam starts, means that there will be no Sangalpam also. There will be no Sangalpam, no Vikalpam. When there is no Sangalpa Vikalpam inside, that means the mind has practically comes under steady state. Mind has comes into steady state. So when he comes back, this prarabdham, generally what does prarabdham mean? Prarabdham means it is the remnants from the previous life. It's not from this life. Prarabdham is not from this life. It's the remnants of the previous life. Previous, as many lifetimes we want to take it, depend that we don't know how much it is. So that is the previous lifetime. So what will now happen is that the when the realization happens, he will also realize one thing, that I am not born. Even birth hasn't happened. Even including this birth of the body, is a body belongs to, he has realized the truth, understood that he is a spirit soul. Which means that he sees his own body as not born. Body has not taken birth, as far as he is concerned now. There's no such thing called a death. There's no such thing called birth either. So there is neither birth nor death happening to him anymore. And he will say, I don't have a birth, I don't have this life either. That is this. So if you don't have this life, how can you have a previous life? That question also can ask. People can ask that question. The answer to that question is that, so then how can I have prarabdham? How can prarabdham come if I didn't have a previous birth before? All these questions can come back in a different way. So prarabdham's nature is like that. What you have to remember is that before we realize the truth, before this knowledge has come, before self-realization has happened, you had the previous births. Self-realization has only happened now. It hasn't happened before. So before self-realization has happened, when you have realized the self, what happens? You realize that there is no such thing called birth and death. Right? But still prarabdham is staying back. Why? Because before self-realization happened, in ignorant state, you have been engaged in karmam, and then karmam has created prarabdham. Yeah? And that prarabdham is still left a little bit. So therefore, you have to wait till that goes away. It is true that there is no such thing called birth and death. That is self-realization. Self-realization means there is no such thing called birth and death. Remember that. Bandham muktam iti vyakhya gunato me na vastuda. It is not a truth. Krishna is saying this. Gunasyam maya mulatval na me moksho na bandhanam. Na me moksho na bandhanam means there is no birth, no death. Soul free, completely free from everything. When it is in that state, how come the soul had to, how come that we have accepted the birth and we are waiting for the body to drop? That is finishing the prarabdham. Answer to that is this, that the you have realized at a particular point in time, self-realization has happened. And prior to that, we were in the ajnanam state, avidya, ignorant state. And ignorant state, we have executed karma. Avidya kama karma bhi. In avidya causes desires, desires creates karma, and karma causes bondage. All these things have happened before self-realization. When they were created at that time, they created what is known as prarabdha karma. And that prarabdha karma is not exhausted yet. So we have to wait till that is exhausted. It is an interesting concept, isn't it? That think about this, that you come to realize there is no such thing called birth or death. You come to that state of consciousness and then you are waiting for this to go away. So that's a very interesting situation. That we are saying to everyone, who Krishna is saying also here, there is no such thing called birth and death. And we realize it also through the process of Dhyana Yoga. You have realized it. But then still you have to wait to finish the prarabdham. Why? Because prarabdham was created at the time when you were in avidya, in ignorant state. That will not go like that. So therefore, the body will stay. The body will stay. We have to wait till the we have to wait till the body drops away. So that's what we are discussing. So what will happen is now is that this dhyana process, what Krishna has spoken here, dhyanam and yogam. That dhyanam and yogam. There is a little difference here in the beginning. In the beginning, difference is this. That you from dhyanam process helps a person. Dhyanam is discussed in the Bhagavadam here. This dhyanam process, question will come, is it a part of jnanam or is it a part of yogam? That's the question. Is this dhyana yogam discussed in the Bhagavadam? Is it a part of jnana margam or is it a part of yoga margam? Yoga margam means ashtanga yogam. The answer is, it's a part of ashtanga yogam. It's a part of yoga margam it is. So, dhyanam, yoga, it's called yoga darshanam. It's a yoga darshanam. So here, you will see that this dhyanam, one who has executed, he gets siddhis. He gets siddhis. Jnani doesn't get siddhis. We talked about that before also. What happens to the jnani? Jnani siddhis and yogi siddhis are different. Jnani, when it is required, Krishna sends him what he needs. Whereas yogi, it is consciously he can have it. He can get it. So in one sense, that what causes siddhi? Because that's the next chapter. We are going to discuss that now. What happens? How does siddhis develop in a person? It comes from this dhyana. It comes from, that is why Krishna spoke about this siddhi immediately after the dhyana yoga. Immediately after the dhyana yoga. Because through dhyana process, through meditation process, that when he becomes so subtle, because by the time he reaches this state, his state of consciousness is very, very subtle, isn't it? So focused, so concentrated, everything is for him, that only he has to think about something, it will happen. That's that state at that point. And a lot of siddhis appear for him in that state. Various kinds of siddhis will appear for him. So jnanis, what they do, they destroy the mind, completely leave the mind and destroy that. But yogis, on the other hand, they will concentrate the mind on something and bring it very focused on that. Ekagrata, they call it. Ekagrata means concentration. So that is why yogis get the siddhis. Jnanis don't get the siddhis. So therefore, this next chapter, what we are going to talk about, is for the yogis, not for the jnanis, not for the devotees either. Not for the devotees either. But because it is an after effect of the yoga mark, dhyanam process, Krishna has spoken that to, you can imagine, Krishna was not expecting Uddhava at that age, 124 years old, Uddhava, to follow this yoga process now, isn't it? Which is, Krishna knows. But why Krishna spoke this? Because if this process is expected from people, those who are taken to this yoga margam very seriously from the beginning. Many people may not reach that stage. Somewhere in between, many people get stuck in different levels. Because it's a very complex process. Requires tremendous determination. And we are people who are finding it difficult to free ourselves from the family life. Even there we are stuck. What to talk about getting stuck in any of these stages. So we don't have to worry too much about that. But still, Krishna says here that yoga siddhis, all what is spoken here, that they are only obstacles in self-realization. That is how Krishna begins this chapter itself. And therefore, don't desire them. That is Krishna's advice to everyone. These siddhis, don't desire them, he says there.
Shri Bhagavan Vacham. Jitendriyasya yuktasya jitashwasasya yoginaha mai dharadayascheda upatishtande siddhayaham.
Krishna is saying, Jitendriyasya yuktasya jitashwasasya mai chedaha dharayadaha yoginaha siddhayaha upatishtandi. That is the word. He says here, Jitendriyasya yuktasya jitashwasasya mai chedaha dharedaha yoginaha siddhayaha upatishtandi. Means, jitendriyasya, means one who has controlled his senses, jitendriyatvam. Yuktasya, one who has got this steady mind. And jitashwasasya, which means who has performed pranayamam and has got complete control over the flow of air within the body. So, jitendriyasya, yuktasya, jitashwasasya. And jidasvasasya, mai chedaha dharedaha, one who has completely got absorbed concentration on his on Krishna, completely absorbed in the self-realization. In other words, dharedam mai dharedas cheda. He says mai chedaha dharedaha, such a yogi, and that yogi upatishtande siddhayaha, he will receive many. He will get many siddhis. He says. You will receive many siddhis. But siddhis is so interesting. Anyone will desire to have a few of that. It's a very tempting thing. Very tempting thing. And many kinds of yogis who have practiced that and attained some siddhis they have achieved in their life, you will see them that they have used that in sometimes in their life. So Uddhava asked a question. Kaya dharanaya kvasil katham sil siddhirachyuta kativa siddhayo bruhi yoginam siddhido bhavan. He says, kaya dharanaya kvasid, he achyuta, kaya dharanaya kvasid siddhihi bhavati katham svid bhavati kativa siddhayaha edat sarvam me bruhi bhagavan yoginam siddhidaha. Uddhava says to Krishna that what dharana I have to perform? Dharana I have mentioned before. What dharana means, isn't it? Able to focus without any, uninterruptedly, on a particular thing. That dharana. That is dharana. What dharana do I have to perform to get a particular siddhi? How does that happen? How many types of siddhis are there? Can you explain that all things to me? Because Uddhava says to him, yoginam siddhido bhavan. You are the person who offers everything to everybody, all these siddhis, isn't it? You are the person who gives it to anyone. So, to the results of all their efforts, you are the one who gives everything to everybody. So Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Siddhayo Ashtadasha Prokta Dharano Yoga Paragehi Tasam Ashtomat Pradhanam Dashaiva Gunahetavam. Siddhayo Ashtadasha Prokta Dharano Yoga Paragehi Tasam Ashtomat Pradhana Dashaiva Gunahetavam. Krishna says that Siddhayaha Dharanascha Yoga Paragehi Ashtadasha Prokta. Krishna's point is that there are totally 18 siddhis. Totally 18 siddhis. And Krishna says, that is how those who are advanced in the yoga process says. That's how Krishna puts it everything. Krishna will never say, it's my opinion. No, it's opinion of the acharyas among the yoga shastram, in the Ashtanga Yogam. Those who have gone, made it successful, or the acharyas in that process, their opinion is that there are 18 siddhis. There are 18 siddhis. And then he says, Tasam madhye ashto mat pradanaha desha gunahe deschavaha. Out of that, 8 of them are in me. Are in me. The remaining 10 will come due to increased mode of goodness. Increased mode of goodness. When satugunam develops in a person very high level, then the remaining 10 due to increased satugunam, increased mode of goodness, it will happen in a person. Krishna says like that here. And so therefore he says that when we talked about that siddhi, Krishna says that the 8 ones which he talked about, the first 8, they are called nirguna siddhi. Nirguna siddhi they are called. And the remaining 10 are sagunam. Remaining 10 are sagunam. Because nirgunam means beyond the modes of nature, isn't it? With the 8 which Krishna offers at, those after the modes of nature, after we have escaped from the modes of nature. The 10 what Krishna is obtained by our effort by increased satugunam. So, he's going to talk about that. And what those siddhis are. Anima mahima murtir lekhima praptirindriyaihi pragashyam shrutadrushteshu shakti preranami ishidam guneshva sango vashida yal kamastadavasyati edame siddhaya saumyam ashtavautpattika madaham. Anima mahima murtir lekhima praptirindriyaihi pragashyam shrutadrushteshu shakti preranami ishidam Guneshwa Sango Vashida Yelkama Tadavasyadi Edame Siddhaya Saumya Ashta Autpatiga Madaham. He says, Anima Mahima Leghima Eda Tisraha Siddhaya Murte Bhavandi. The first three, Anima, Mahima and Leghima, these three things, what is Anima means? Becoming smaller than the smallest. Smaller than the smallest. That means, with the body, body will appear to others as though you have become a very small, minute thing. It will appear to others like that. It's difficult to understand what that means, isn't it? Because how the body changes. This is, you will see in the demons who in the Krishna's pastimes had these different capacities, isn't it? To change the form of the body. Putana appeared very beautiful, although she is a demon. She appeared very beautiful because of the yogic power she had. Many asuras had this yogic power. It was quite practiced by then. Those people had practiced them very well those days and they had achieved this yogic power very well. So that is why anima is first one, that you can become smaller than the smallest. That's how anima is spoken. And on the other hand, mahima. You can become, with this body itself, give an impression to others you are huge, massive size. That is mahima. So anima, mahima, to make the body huge in appearance in front of others. And leghima, the third one, is just to become lighter than the lightest. Just like a leaf which is floating in the air. Just like floating in the air. You can travel very freely, you can go up in the sky and freely move around everywhere. That is leghima. Laghavam. Laghavam means the lightness. The body becomes so light. This is a yogic power. This is the yogic power. So, anima mahima murtir lekhima prapti indriyaihi. Indriya prapti. Prapti is the next one. So, first three is anima mahima lekhima and then indriya prapti. Indriya prapti means that you can use your senses to do whatever you want to do with them. Sitting here, you can see something, what's going on in America or in Australia, wherever. You can, from here, you can see things, what is happening there. You can, sitting here, you can hear something, what's happening in some sound, what has come from Europe, anywhere else in this world, from another part of the world. You can hear the sound from there. These are all the prapti, indriya prapti. In other words, what happens is, all senses has its full power to experience things from rest of the, which we normally, now we are limited with our senses, isn't it? We can only see a certain area, or our strength of the senses are limited. But Krishna says that with this prapti, indriya prapti, indriyam can go anywhere and bring the information to you. Whichever, wherever, how far it is, doesn't matter. It can still do that. And similarly, you can hear things from anywhere. Suppose a musical concert is going on somewhere, you can sit here and enjoy it, hearing the music from the concert. You don't have to buy the ticket. You can enjoy the musical concert sitting here. Like that. This is indriya prapti. Indriya prapti means senses are going to be able to do anything. And then he says here, prakashyam shruta drishteshu. That's the next one. Prakashyam shruta drishteshu. So, prapti means that every sense has got adhishtatra devata. Adhishtatra devata means predominating deity. All senses have its predominating deity. So, through your mind, you are able to get in touch with these predominating deities of the senses and operate the senses through them, through their help. That's how you acquire that power. Adhishtatra devata. That's why prapti. So, and shruta drishteshu prakashyam. That's the fourth one. Shruta drishteshu prakashyam. Prakashyam it's called because this particular siddhi gives you to see all objects of sense enjoyment in the whole world. All the objects of sense enjoyment. And that is this prakashyam means. So you may have heard about something. Says you have heard about something, some enjoyment in this world, somewhere else. Not only in this world, even the heavenly planets, anywhere, doesn't matter. When we say world means within these three planetary systems, that's how you have to take it. Whatever you have heard about that, for example, demigods' relations with upstairs women and things like that, sitting here, a yogi can experience that, see that. That is prakashyam. Prakashyam means whatever you have heard about anywhere else in these three planetary systems, sitting here in this world, you can see that. Yeah. You can't experience that, you can see that. Prakashyam shruta drishteshu. What you may have heard about something many years ago, something. You can then if you want to see it now, it can come straight away in front of you. You can see it right now. Prakashyam shruta drishteshu. Shruta drishteshu means you may have heard about something, or you may have seen something, or you may have read about something, whatever it is. In something you have heard about somewhere else that these things are happening. But you can experience it right now in front of you. You can see that straight away. So that is that prakashyam. Prakashyam shruta drishteshu. Then what else? Shakti preranam ishita. So, Shakti Preranam Ishita means to control Maya. Maya and also some of the power of Maya, some powers of Maya, and able to encourage them to work. For example, this, what they call a Shakti Ishita, Ishita, what they call here, say a large stone is lying there. Somebody comes to you and says to you, that's a stone, it cannot move. You can say to him, I haven't seen it moving, but it can move, you say to him. So the yogi who has got this Ishita Shakti, Ishida, he can enter into that stone and the stone will move. That is why it's called like that. Shakti Prerana Ishida. That means you are able to get in and move the thing. Prerana comes from you. Your Shakti, you are able to induce into that stone and make the stone to move. So it makes all the law, isn't it? All the science goes away at that point. Science is finished then. Where is the science? So we believe in science in a particular level only, science is all correct. Science is not absolute. Science is only in the conditioned state, we can accept it. But when the yogis start doing these things, it breaks all the laws of science. Is it not? So that's why it says here, Prakashyam Shruta Drishteshu Shakti Prairanam Ishita. So, and it, similarly, there are many, normally the stone won't move, but the stone starts moving. And that is when it happened. And the, so, that's it. For example, a crow is flying there in the sky. And if you are able to, if you have this Ishita Prairana Shakti, you can tell the crow to come, crow will come straight away. Or any, a squirrel is running. You tell the squirrel to come to you, it will come to you. This is the Prairana Ishida, Shakti Prairana Ishida. This is all the power of that. Some yogis, sometimes they will exhibit these things, who have that, reached that state of control of things like that. So that's why, Guneshwa Sango Vashida Yatkamandavadasyadim. Guneshwa Sango Vashita. So, then this Ishida, that Siddhi is this. Ishida is this Siddhi. That you can force others through your power, you can control them. That controlling others through your own mind, through your own power. That is a Siddhi, isn't it? That is that Siddhi. And the next one, Krishna says here, Guneshwa Sango Vashita. Guneshwa Sango Vashita. Then, not being in contact with the three modes of material nature. Not being in contact with the three modes of material nature. So, gunam, not connection with the sangam. So, here, interesting some examples that there were yogis who had all these things, they were reached this state. One yogi like this, he had this yogic power and he was invited by the king. This happened about 150-200 years ago, practically about 150 years ago, I could say. He was a yogi. He went into Ashtanga Yogam very seriously. He practiced it for a long period of time and the king invited him for a feast. Because king has invited, just as a mark of respect, he went for that. But before he accepted the invitation, he told the king, there will be a lot of guests who will come with me. I cannot come on my own. So the king asked him, how many people will you be coming? He says, there will be about 200 people who will come with me. He says, if you can give feast to everybody, then I can accept the invitation. Because you can't invite me alone, invite everybody. Sometimes people invite like that. They'll only invite you, they won't invite the family. They'll invite things like that. So, but he was very open about it. He said to them, said to the king, if you invite, they are all my friends and I can't come for the feast without them. He said. So the king said, okay, it's only 200 after all, king can provide that. So on the particular day, appointed day, he went for the feast. When he went for the feast, he was alone. When he went for the feast, he was alone. So the king, in a very polite way, asked him, because he knew this yogi well, asked him that, you said there will be another 200 people coming, he said. He says, yeah, they will come, it's not time. You can put the, put all the plates and leaves, everything for them and start serving and they'll come, he said. And nobody has turned up, they all kept serving. 200 plates of prasadam was served there. 200 plates of prasadam was there, ready there to be eaten. And then in 1 second, he saw 200 dogs, one behind the other, coming in a completely disciplined way, totally disciplined way. They all came, they sat there, They never barked or created any noise. Normally the dogs will create that, isn't it? But dogs never barked. They all came and sat in front of each of this leaf, ate all the food that was put on that leaf. They ate everything. After finishing it, they folded the leaf, the dogs, and they bit it with their mouth and took it to the outside to put it in the bin. And then they all left. And these are the guests who had come with him. So the king was very much in shock seeing all these things. He says to this the yogi, that these are your friends, these 200. Hey, don't think like that. They are all great people in their previous life. They got this body in this life. But don't take that very seriously. At one time they were all good people, but they have fallen into that state. And it so happened that they had come like this, in this way, not to take it very seriously. He says to the king, and then after that the yogi also left that place. So this is not a story, this is a fact what has happened, and it is in the books also. You will see probably in the internet also, it could be there. But I'm not saying it's truth because it's the internet, but these things do happen. And the yogis were there like that, who had that very high degree of power of yoga, who has practiced Ashtanga Yoga and acquired a lot of siddhis like that. Often, Prabhupada also mentions in some instances, some of the yogis, he talks about one Trilinga Swami in Lucknow or Banaras somewhere, that he performed. He was a person who has caused a lot of uproar in the market. So that time the police, this happened in early days, much before British left India, that independence movement happened before that. That the police took him and locked him up in a room, and police came out, and they came out, they saw him standing outside the room. So they couldn't do anything about it with such a yogi. But it wasn't a serious problem, but because he was exhibiting all these kind of things, there was some problems, little bit problems in the society also. And Krishna says that yogis have so many different kinds of power like this can develop within them. So here Krishna says, Guneshu asango vashidam yat kamas tadavasyadi edame siddhaya saumyam ashta autpatiyamada yat kamas tadavasyadi. That this eighth siddhi is like that whatever you desire, it will happen. Whatever you desire, it will happen. And eda ashtau siddhayaha me aupatiya mataha. All these eight siddhis are there in Krishna. Incomplete. They are in Krishna. Remember, Krishna exhibited many siddhis like that. In various Krishna's pastimes, you will notice, Krishna has shown many siddhis. When he went to marry Satya, one of Krishna's wives, Satya's parents, they had made one competition, and whoever wins that competition alone can marry Satya. That was the agreement. So when Krishna went there, what was the competition? There were seven bulls, very powerful bulls. You have to bring them all under control and put the ropes around their neck and keep it under control. Seven bulls at the same time. So what did Krishna do? Krishna has expanded himself into seven forms and did that. Plus Krishna says, I had the experience when I was young playing with the cows and bulls. So I was used to that, he says there. So this kind of aishwaryam, that is in Krishna all, complete. Incomplete, it is there in Krishna. Everything. And you'll also see when Krishna wanted to marry the 16,100 wives, he expanded himself into 16,100 forms. And there is a limitation up to which demigods can expand. Krishna can expand unlimitedly. That's the difference. Krishna can expand unlimitedly. As many forms as he wants, he can expand into that. So Krishna expanded unlimitedly and married all 16,100 wives and had a householder life in proportion with that. Sri Narada Maharshi went to verify that, isn't it? You know that in the Bhagavatam, that story. Sri Narada Maharshi goes to verify how Krishna is running his householder life. In every home he saw Krishna and the wife together. One place, first went to Rukmini's palace, Krishna was there with Rukmini. Walked into the next room, the next house, there was Satyabhama was there with Krishna. Another one, Jambavati with Krishna. Like this, after 10 or 12 houses, he gave up this experiment because he understood that Krishna's opulences are unlimited. So there also you can see Krishna's this expansion, expanding himself into forms. When Krishna went to visit Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, that story in the Bhagavatam you know, that at one point Krishna accepted the invitation from a king and from a very poor Brahmana. Shrutadeva was the Brahmana, Bahulashva was the king, and they were both living in Mithila. So Krishna had to go from Dwaraka to Mithila. So when Krishna went from Dwaraka to Mithila, he was invited by both the Shrutadeva and Bahulashva same day, same time they were invited. So Krishna decided to fulfill both desires. Both are devotees. So he wanted to accept the invitation and go and visit them same time. What did Krishna do? Krishna went with a group of Krishna's devotees. Devotees means all these jnani yogis who all followed him. Sudeva Goswami went with him. Durvasa Muni went with him. Angiras went with him. Narada Maharshi went with him. A few sages like that. Few sages gone along with Krishna accepting that invitation. When Krishna went from Dwaraka, they were all together in one group. When they got to Mithila, there were two Krishnas, two Narada Munis, two Sudeva Goswamis, two Angiras, and everything too. One group all went to Bahulashva and one group went to Shrutadeva. And Sudeva Goswami didn't know it. Nobody knew this. Nobody in the group knew that they have all become two. This is the yogam, yoga siddhi. And so both of them went to the same time. Bhagavatam says very clearly that. Same time they accepted the invitation from both Shrutadeva and Bahulashva and they came back to Dwaraka. At that time, Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, an incident happened like this, that Sudeva Goswami felt that he went to Shrutadeva, Sudeva Goswami also felt to Bahulashva. And he was experiencing both at the same time. He couldn't figure out the difference whether he was at Shrutadeva or Bahulashva. Both places he was present and he was experiencing the same time. If you ask us, it's very difficult to explain that. But that yoga, Krishna's yoga power was such that both of them visited both places and they accepted the invitation and the hospitality of both the poor person. In one place, Bahulashva gave opulent reception. King, isn't it? Palatial building, servants, everything. In Shrutadeva's place, there was nothing to sit even, not even a bench. Sudama state. Even a mat was offered to sit down and water was offered to drink. It was completely a different platform. But both these things, Sudeva Goswami experienced. So Parikshit asked that question to Sudeva Goswami. Out of those two Sudeva Goswami, which Sudeva Goswami is sitting here and talking to me? That was his question. Sudeva Goswami said, I don't know. This is yoga. This is that siddhi, Krishna's siddhis. Krishna has experienced these siddhis at different times, in different places, whenever it was necessary to do that. So these eight siddhis are incomplete in Krishna because all siddhis are given by Krishna at the end, isn't it? So that's why Krishna is saying, and Krishna is telling us, don't work for them, it's not worthwhile. That's Krishna's opinion on them. So that's what he says here, that anima mahima murtir lekhima praptir indriyaihi pragashyam shrutadrushteshu shakti preranamishida Guneshu Sango Vashida Yalkamar Tadavasyadi Edame Siddhaya Saumya Ashta Autpatiya Madaham. Now after saying these eight siddhis, what Krishna has spoken here, Krishna is going to talk about the other 10 siddhis which develops through increase of mode of goodness, increase of Satugunam. Increase of Satugunam. That is what Krishna is going to start from now. So we'll start. Anurmimatvam dehesmin durashravanadarshanam manojavam kamarupam paragaya praveshanam സ്വച്ഛന്ദ മൃത്യുർദേവാനം സഹക്രീഡാനുദർശനം യഥാ സങ്കല്പസം സിദ്ധി ആജ്ഞാ അപ്രതിഹതാ ഗതിം. അനൂർമിമത്വം ദേഹേസ്മിൻ ദൂരശ്രവണദർശനം മനോജവം കാമരൂപം പരകായ പ്രവേശനം. സ്വച്ഛന്ദ മൃത്യുർദേവാനം സഹക്രീഡാനുദർശനം യഥാ സങ്കല്പസം സിദ്ധി ആജ്ഞാ അപ്രതിഹതാ ഗതിം. ഇ സേസ് അസ്മിൻ ദേഹേ അനൂർമിമത്വം, അനൂർമിമത്വം ദൂരശ്രവണദർശനം മനോജവം കാമരൂപം പരകായ പ്രവേശനം സ്വച്ഛന്ദ മൃത്യു ദേവാനാം സഹക്രീഡാനുദർശനം യഥാ സങ്കല്പസംസിദ്ധി അപ്രതിഹത ഗതിഹി ആജ്ഞാഹ ഏതാ ദശസിദ്ധയഹ. ദീസ് ആർ ദ ടെൻ വൺസ്. വാട്ട് ആർ ദേ? ദാറ്റ് അനൂർമിമത്വം. അനൂർമിമത്വം മീൻസ് യു ഡോണ്ട് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഹംഗർ ആൻഡ് തേഴ്സ്റ്റ്. സെയിം തിങ് ഷഡൂർമി, ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് ടു. യു ഡോണ്ട് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഹംഗർ ആൻഡ് തേഴ്സ്റ്റ് എനി മോർ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അനദർ സിദ്ധി വാട്ട് ദേ ഹാവ്, ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അനൂർമിമത്വം. ദൂരശ്രവണ ദർശനം, ദാറ്റ് സംതിങ് ദാറ്റ്സ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ഫാർ അവേ യു ഹിയർ, യു ക്യാൻ ഹിയർ ആൻഡ് സീ ഫ്രം ഹിയർ സിറ്റിംഗ് ഇൻ ദിസ് പ്ലേസ്. യു ക്യാൻ ഹിയർ ആൻഡ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട്സ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ഇൻ അമേരിക്ക. So anything if you want to experience in this world, elsewhere what's happening, say you hear about something happening in some other part of the world, sitting here you can see that and you can hear also what goes on there. That is durashravana darshanam. Then what else he says here? Manojavam. Manojavam, manojavam means that to travel at the speed of mind, to travel at the speed of mind. That is manojo, win over the mind. That means physically you don't have to go, but you can travel to other places through the mind, at the speed of the mind. Mind is the fastest thing, isn't it? Say if you sit here and think about what's happening in the heavenly planets, immediately you can get there, mind gets there. So fast the mind travels. So similarly, Krishna says, manojavam, that all your thoughts you can control in such a way, it can reach the destination very quickly, very fast. It can come to that place, manojavam. Kamarupam, and kamarupam means you can acquire any form you want, any form. In the Bhagavatam there are so many things like that, isn't it? Different asuras, they come in different animals form. Arishtasura, one form. Akhasura, another form. This is all this yoga siddhi, kamarupam. Kamarupam means you can change your form to whichever form you like. They changed the form into the form. Akhasura became a big python. And Arishtasura came as a bull, isn't it? Arishtasura came as a bull. Then we had the first one. Bagasura came as a bagam. Bagam means, what's bagam? What is it? Crane, yes, crane. Vadasura is a crane. So, like that, different animals form, they have accepted, they have taken. And they could come. That is this Kamarupam, this Siddhi in them. And also, you will see, in Valsasura, like a little, Valsasura and Bagasura, they came together. It's in more or less the same time. The pastime is discussed together. It was the same day it happened. Valsasura and Bagasura pastime. So Valsasura was a little calf form. It came. Valsasura came in the calf. That's why he was called Valsasura. The other demon who came as a crane, he was called Bagasura. And the bull was called Arishtasura. And then the other demon who came as... Trinavarta came as a wind form. Trinavarta. So all different, this particular siddhi, they have acquired, who these demons. And they were able to change their body form in that particular way. So whatever form, that is manojavam kamarupam. Then that's another interesting thing, paragaya praveshanam. Paragaya praveshanam means you can get into somebody else's body inside. It's frightening, isn't it? Somebody gets inside you. But this is quite common. Paragaya praveshanam is not a big thing as far as yogis are concerned. Not a big thing. Most of the acharyas had this capacity to change into, go into somebody else's body. There's an interesting story about Shankaracharya on this. that he had gone for a debate in Bihar with Mandana Mishra. So with Mandana Mishra was at that point in time, he was very much a Mimamsa philosopher, Karmagandam in other words, Purva Mimamsa's authority he was, Mandana Mishra. So they had to debate each other, and his wife was Saraswati. Sarasavani she is called. Saraswati Devi was his wife. They have come in that form. Mandana Mishra is Brahma himself, and Saraswati was his wife. She came as Sarasavani there. They were living there, and Mandana Mishra was such an authority on this process of Mimamsa philosophy. Karma Mimamsa was very prominent at that time. You know what that means? Karmagandam, in other words. Karmagandam. Prajina Barhis and all in the Bhagavadam, you see, they were all followers of Karmagandam, isn't it? So Karmagandam was famous at that time, and Acharya Swamiji was going there as authority on Jnanagandam, isn't it? Jnanagandam was this process. So they had arranged a debate between them, but in that debate, there was a discussion about householder life. Discussion was to happen about householder life. Acharya Swamiji was a brahmachari and a sannyasi, never had any householder life in this world. Mandana Mishra said, you have no experience of householder life. How are you going to discuss about householder life with me? So Mandana Mishra started with that argument. So the agreement was between Acharya Swamiji and Mandana Mishra that the judge was Saraswati. Saraswati was the judge. So before the argument started, she put one garland on Acharya Swamiji's neck and one garland on Mandana Mishra's neck. Whosoever garland gets dried up first, he has loses the battle. That was the agreement. So this issue came up. Acharya Swamiji said, it is true that I have no experience of householder life, but if you give me some time, I'll experience that and come back, he said. So what did he do? He traveled to Bengal. At that time there was a king called Lakshmana Sena. That was the king who ruled Bengal. He died, and his wife, they have not cremated him yet. He went and entered into his body. Acharya Swamiji gone and entered into his body. And when the king who was dead, when he got up, the queen was very happy that he has come back to life. And he stayed in that body and lived a householder life with the queen for a while. And then he gave up that body, and while going that time, he left his old body and asked his disciples to look after his old body, what he has left behind. And he goes to this Lakshmana Sena's body, experiences householder life, comes back into his previous body again. So his four disciples, they were standing, watching his old body, what he has left with them. Palpabhada, Hastamalaka and others, they were watching his body. The old body, what he has left, but his sannyasi body. So he left the sannyasi body, he comes back to that sannyasi body. Meanwhile, what happened was that there was a group of people who performed what is known as kapaligas. Kapaligas means those who kill and sacrifice the body, human body, to please the Durga Devi, Durga's pleasure. They are called kapaligas. It's one kind of philosophical system that existed at that time. So they saw this nice body, young brahmachari's body, thought that's the best one they could get. So they went to get this body before he came back from Lakshmana Sena's body. Before he came back, they went to get this body to make it a sacrifice. At that time, Palpabhada, who was there, who was watching this body, he couldn't do anything. And he started praying to Nrisimhadeva for protection at that time. By now, Shankaracharya has come back and he saw this Kapaligas, and there was a conversation between him and Kapaligas, and they say to him that we would like to offer you for the sacrifice to the Devi. But he immediately chanted what is famous known as Lakshmi Narasimha Stotram, Karavalambam. Lakshmi Narasimha Karavalamba Stotram. It is famous Stotram. About 12 or 14 verses glorifying Nrisimhamurti. Nrisimhamurti appeared and killed the Kapaligas, and Acharya Swamiji got back into his old body, and then he went for the debate later. So this is in the all his biography written, autobiography written by his disciples, Shankara Vijayam, Madhva Vijayam, there are so many books. In all that, this story is mentioned as the one example of this Paragaya Pravesham. Paragaya Pravesham means they could leave, all Acharyas could do that. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, all of them could do this. That they can leave the body somewhere, wherever they want, and go and enter into somebody else's body. It's a Yoga Siddhi in them. It's a Yoga Siddhi they had. And that comes from increased Sattugunam. When Sattugunam worships to such a higher level, these Siddhis naturally manifest in those people. That's how it happens. This is why it is Krishna mentions there, isn't it? By increased Sattugunam. Mode of goodness develops to such a high degree in a person, then they will come to that state. They have these Siddhis available. Paragaya Pravesham it's called. Paragaya Pravesham, well known. So many personalities have done this, Paragaya Pravesham. How they have done that. And in those days, this knowledge was there among the in the people, that how to develop that Sattugunam to that degree and how to acquire these kind of Siddhis as well. Removing the illness from another person to one's own body. It was quite common. Taking the illness from someone else's body, say for example, a spiritual master and a disciple. Spiritual master is suffering from some serious illness. A disciple thinks, as a service to the spiritual master, let me accept that disease from him. It has a name, it's called, that, forget the name, that they have, they know how to do that, a particular process by which they bring the person who is sick and you sit next to him and by through chanting the mantra, everything, the whole disease is pulled out from his body and brought into one deity, and the Brahmana who is receiving that in that form in the deity, he will get that sickness from in a few days again, will come to him. So some instances, some disciple has felt that my spiritual master's life is very valuable in this world. He can, if he lives for a long time, he can help many, many people. I am not such an important person, so let me accept the disease on his behalf. Let me accept the disease and save his life. There are examples like that. So these kind of siddhis comes to people from increased sattugunam in a person. So that's why anurmimatvam dehesmin durashravana darshanam manojava kamarupam paragaya praveshanam swachanda mrityurdevanam sahakridanu darshanam yatha sankalpasam siddhi ajna apratihada gadim. So paragaya praveshanam is that. Then swachanda mrityurdevanam sahakridanu darshanam. Swachanda mrityu means they can give up the body when they want. That kind of, that is Swachanda Mrityu. Bhishma had it, isn't it? Bhishma decided, I'll leave the body. And that great yogi was Bhishma. Sri Parvati did that, didn't she? In front of Daksha, when she didn't like it. I don't want this body from you anymore. I don't want to be called anymore Dakshayani. She decided to give up the body, sat there, and the fire of yoga burned the body into ashes. Just see that power. Swachanda Mrityu. That is Swachanda Mrityu. They can give up the body when they want it. So you can't threaten them that I'll kill you or anything. that doesn't exist with them. That kind of thing won't work with them. So Chanda Mrityu, Bhishma waited 58 days. Last day he decided to, after Mahabharata war, he'd waited another 18 days to give up the body, isn't it? So Chanda Mrityu Devanam. So Chanda Mrityu Devanam Paraga Sahakridana Darshanam. So Chanda Mrityu is quite another siddhi, comes from increased mode of goodness. Then what else? Sahakridanu darshanam. Sahakridanu darshanam means Devanam sahakridanu darshanam. Demigods are enjoying in the heavenly planets. You want to see all that. You can see here in this world how they enjoy. Then you will know that it is not just stories. Now you may say that all this is stories, demigods' life there, isn't it? But how demigods enjoy their life. With the Apsaras women, how they play in their water sports, everything, how they live their life there, how they enjoy their material life, and that you can see while in this world. Sahakridana Darshanam. There are so many references to that in the Brahma Sutra also, that the demigods' activities, it is possible to know. demigods come to this world, but they don't touch the ground. They are only allowed to stand above the... The moment they touch the ground, they'll be visible. They'll be visible to us. That is, it's mentioned in the Brahma Sutra commentary. It's written like very clearly. So demigods have this power to come and see what's going on here. Similarly, through this process of Devanam Sahakridana Darshanam, we can see what is happening in the heavenly planets, how they are enjoying their life. So from here you can decide whether to go there or not, whether you want to go back there or not, or to think of if any desire is there. But once you know what it's like there, then you probably may give up your thoughts about that. So, Swachandamrityur Devanam Sahakridana Darshanam. Then, Yadha Sangalpasam Siddhi Ajna Apradihada Gadim. He says here that Yadha Sangalpasam Siddhi Apradihada Gadihi Ajnaha Yadha Dasha Siddheha. So, in other words, that that according to your Sangalpam, Yadha Sangalpasam Siddhi, you can achieve anything. Whatever you have thought in your mind, you want to become that, you can become that. Sangalpa Samsiddhi. Then Sangalpa Samsiddhi means based on your Sangalpam. Based on your Sangalpam. What we consider here as great, they didn't consider great those days. Today we have some different conception about greatness, isn't it? I want to become Prime Minister or President of the United States or something like that. So these are today's concept. What is great? In their concept and the time when Krishna has spoken this, that conception is based on a different understanding, because their greatness was measured not in terms of the position in this material world. Like powerful king or powerful ministers or powerful soldiers, army commanders or whatever. Whatever one desires, according to your Sangalpam, you could become that. You could become that. Yada Sangalpa Samsiddhi. That's what you find there. Just like you can see Putana. Putana changed her form, isn't it? Changed her form. Out of Sangalpam only, she could change her form. And appear herself as very beautiful in front of all the gopis in Vrindavanam. Gopis saw Putana walking in, and that was late in the evening. They have just, the darkness has set in, and they saw Putana coming in, and they thought, is Mahalakshmi coming to see Vishnu? This is how they spoke about her. Mahalakshmi's husband is here. Krishna has come, isn't it? So only a few days before that, somebody said that Krishna is not different from Vishnu. So gopis heard about that, and gopis were talking to each other. Has Mahalakshmi has come to see her husband? Seeing Putana, they were saying this. It's mentions like that in the Bhagavadam. That Putana was coming to see her husband. That's what they thought about her. So all this is, yogis didn't know any of these siddhis or yoga power they didn't have. That Putana could change the form in that way. So, and similarly, Ajna Apratihata Gati. What does that mean? Ajna Apratihata Gati. You want to go anywhere and get in, you can get in. Nobody can stop you. Nobody can block you. Say you want to go to Pentagon and see all what's going on inside. You can, what planning is going on. You can find out that, what's happening inside. Ajna Apratihata Gati. Nobody will be able to stop you. That's many stories like that about this Apratihata Gati. You cannot forcefully block you. Nobody can stop you from getting in anywhere. You can get in wherever you want. That's the kind of yogic power this is. So, these 10 siddhis, what we have spoken, and the 8 siddhis Krishna has spoken about as the primary siddhis, which are coming from Krishna. These 10 siddhis coming from the increased mode of goodness. Increased mode of goodness, isn't it? So, then, what else? There is 5 Kshudra Siddhi, they call it. Kshudra Siddhi means they are not very powerful, less powerful. Kshudra Siddhi, they are called. That's what the next one. Trigalatyatvam advandvam parajitadhyabhityada agnirkambushadinam pradishtambho aparajayam. ത്രികാലജ്ഞത്വമദ്വന്ദ്വം പരചിത്താധ്യഭിജ്ഞത അജ്ഞർക്കാംബുഷാദീനാം പ്രതിഷ്ഠംഭോ അപരാജയം. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ്? ത്രികാലജ്ഞത്വാദയ ക്ഷുദ്രസിദ്ധയ ഭവന്തി. ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്, ത്രികാലജ്ഞത്വം മീൻസ് നോയിങ് ദി പാസ്റ്റ്, പ്രസൻറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദി ഫ്യൂച്ചർ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ത്രികാലജ്ഞത്വം. ത്രികാലജ്ഞത്വം മീൻസ് നോയിങ് ദി പാസ്റ്റ്, പ്രസൻറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദി ഫ്യൂച്ചർ. ത്രികാലജ്ഞത്വാദയ ആൻഡ് ദിമിനർലി അദ്വന്ദ്വം. Dualities don't disturb you anymore. Dualities in this world, like heat and cold, happiness and distress, and day and night, all these have some impact on us, isn't it, in our life in this world. So those dualities don't disturb a yogi when he has acquired this freedom from dvandvam. Trigala adwandvam, that's what's called adwandvam. So, and parajitadhyabhijñata. Parajitadhyabhijñata means to know what is in somebody else's mind. What else, what is going on in someone else's mind, from outside you can know. Parajitadhyabhijñata, knowing somebody else's mind. And agnyar kambu vishadinam pradishtambo aparajayam. Then agni, fire, arka, surya, sun, അമ്പു വാട്ടർ, പോയിസൺ വിഷം, പോയിസൺ, യു ക്യാൻ സ്റ്റോപ്പ് ദെയർ ഗ്രോത്ത്. ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ, ഇഫ് വാട്ടർ ഈസ് ഫ്ലോയിങ്, യു ക്യാൻ സ്റ്റോപ്പ് ദ ഫ്ലോ ഓഫ് വാട്ടർ. ഈ ഫയർ ഈസ് ഗോയിങ് സംവെയർ, യു ക്യാൻ സ്റ്റോപ്പ് ദ ഫയർ. യു ഡോണ്ട് നീഡ് ഫയർ എഞ്ചിൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഫയർമെൻ ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് തിങ്സ്, യു ഡോണ്ട് നീഡ് അറ്റ് ഓൾ. ദേ വിൽ ബിക്കം റിഡൻഡന്റ് ഇഫ് യുവർ യോഗീസ് ആർ എവരിവെയർ. They'll do that job. So this has yogic powers actually. So that means agni arkam, sunlight, if it is giving, you can change that into moonlight. That's kind of power they have developed, the intensity of the sunlight, they can turn that off. Agni arkam vishadinam, similarly poison. Lord Shiva took poison, isn't she? He took poison, isn't it? Halahalam poison he took. He controlled it and held it there. Therefore he became Nilakantha, isn't it? The blue at the throat. So these kind of siddhis are there for all the great personalities, that it won't flow further, it stays there. Agnir kambu vishadinam. And pradishtambo aparajayam. And not only that, under any circumstances, they will never get defeated in all their life in this world. If they have to do anything, they'll become a success in that. They'll become a success in that. So that is these five Kshudra Siddhi they are called. They are called the five Kshudra Siddhis. Now, how these Siddhis are acquired, that's what's going to be spoken in the remaining verses from here to the more or less like the end. So, Dharana, and he explains that a little bit more in detail. Edashodeshada proktam യോഗധാരണ സിദ്ധയ യയാധാരണയാ സ്യാദ്യാത് കാസ്യ യഥാകാസ്യ നിബോധമേ. ഏതശ്ചോദ്ദേശത പ്രോക്ത യോഗധാരണ സിദ്ധയാ യയാധാരണയാ യാ സ്യാദ് യഥാകാസ്യ നിബോധമേ. ഏതാ യോഗധാരണ സിദ്ധയ ഉദ്ദേശത പ്രോക്ത. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ത്രൂ യോഗധാരണ വാട്ട് വൺ ക്യാൻ, വാട്ട് സിദ്ധീസ് വൺ ക്യാൻ അക്വയർ, I have spoken in a nutshell. Yaya dharanayasyal yadhavasyal tadme nibhodame. Let me explain to you what dharana you have to perform to get that siddhi, and how it happens I can now explain to you. Krishna is saying to Uddhava. That means how one should perform the dharana to acquire a particular siddhi. And that is what Krishna is going to talk about now. So, you can see that the first eight siddhis comes from Krishna. Only with Krishna gives that siddhi, you can have it. Then the 10 siddhis due to increased mode of goodness. And the 5 kshudra siddhis, minor siddhis you can call them. Krishna calls them as minor siddhis, kshudra siddhi. Trigalajnatvam advandvam parajityadhyabhijñata agnir kambu vishadinam pratishtambo aparajaya. All these siddhis require dharana. Dharana means that yoga system, You know, they have this yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam. It is after that dharana comes. So when you go in the Ashtanga Yoga process, after you have finished yama, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, after all this is finished comes dharana. It is that dharana that creates these siddhis. It's that dharana that creates these siddhis. So Krishna is going to talk about now that yoga dharana siddhaya. What dharana you have to perform to acquire that particular siddhi. And yaya dharana yasyadya yaya gasta nibhodhame. And by what dharana, what siddhi will happen and how it will happen. That is from now on Krishna is going to talk about it. So, Buddha Sushmal Manimai Tanmatram Dharayen Manaha Animana Mavatnodi Tanmatropasago Mamam. Krishna says, Buddha Sushmal Manimai Tanmatram Dharayen Manaha Animana Mavatnodi Tanmatropasago Mamam. Buddha Sushmal Mani Mai Tanmatram Manaha Dharayed. So, Buddha Sushmalpani Mai. It's very difficult to explain because to one who has practiced and one who knows about it can talk about it. Otherwise, it's difficult. What Krishna says here that you have to perform dharana on Krishna in such a way that all the Sushma Bhudam, that means tanmatras are there, isn't it? What we call as tanmatra, panja tanmatra. That tanmatras, in that tanmatra is the ubhadi. As ubhadi, ubhadi means the medium. In that, the mind should get absorbed in that sushma form of that tanmatra. Sushma bhulvat bhudhalmagami says, Buddha sushmatmani mai tanmatram manadharayet. And tanmatrobhasaka mama animanam avapnodi. If he executes that sushma upadhi, one who performs that dharana in there, he will eventually acquire anima. What Krishna said in the beginning, isn't it? Anima mahima murta legima praptyade. The anima siddhi will come through this extreme subtle form of the material elements. That is the tanmatra, isn't it? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. The five tanmatras. In that tanmatra, when one is able to focus his mind and be concentrated on that, that is dharana. If that dharana happens, this is all with the mind. We are doing with the mind. Everything is done with the mind. That's where all the siddhis is coming from. So if one can do that, then Krishna says that it will eventually develop into this siddhi called anima. Anima means smaller than the smallest. So you can see the connection there. Tanmatra in a expanded form is the material life, world. Everything that is gross is what we see through the senses. Isn't it? Earth, water, air, ether, fire, that's the material elements. And that's what this whole creation is. When it is in its sushma form, in the subtle form, which is shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandham, that is its subtlety of these material elements. Material element subtlety form is that, isn't it? If mind can focus on that subtle form and perform dharana there, you will reach in the same way, you will also lose your gross form and you can become to that subtle form. That's the principle. I know it's only theoretically we can explain it. We can't do anything more than that. Because it is sometimes one has to put the effort in the direction and try if it works or not. But beyond that, you can't say anything. But this is the theory behind it. That gross material elements comes in the form of tanmatra. Tanmatra is that, isn't it? Tanmatra means the subtle, extreme subtle form of the gross material elements. And that is called shabdam. And we mentioned that before, the sky's subtle form is sound. The fire subtle form is form. The water subtle form is taste. And earth subtle form is smell. And air subtle form is touch. So these subtle forms or the gross material elements exist. And it is that subtle forms of these gross material elements is present in our body. It's present in our body. Tanmatras are present in our body. And that's why we are also made of the same thing. So from yogi's point of view, if you are able to perform your dharana, mind, focus on that subtle forms inside in a person, eventually what will happen is your mind will become so subtle that you can completely change this gross body into develop into a small form, into a small subtle form like the material elements have changed into its subtle form. That is the end result, that's all. That's the end result. You have to ask some yogi how to do that and try and see what happens. So, Buddha Sushmal Panimai Tan Matram Dharayen Manaha Animana Mavapnoti Tan Matropa Sagomama Mahatyalman Maipare Yatha Samstamano Tadad Mahimana Mavapnoti Buddhanam Chaprathak Prathak Mahatyalman Maipare Yatha samstam mano dhadad mahimana mavapnoti bhudanam cha prathak prathak mahadi altman altmani pare mai yatha samstam manaha dhadad mahimanam avapnoti bhuda ubhado mai mano dhadad bhudanam tatad bhudanam mahatvam cha prathak prathak. That means Krishna says that when the soul accepts the upadhi called Mahatattvam, you know in the process of creation Mahatattvam comes, isn't it? Mahatattvam comes. So that Mahatattvam, if one can perform dharana on that Mahatattvam, then he can acquire what is known as Mahima, that Siddhi. Mahima Siddhi. Mahatattvam is nothing but Ahangaram has come from Mahatattvam. Ahangaram has come from Mahatattvam. You know in the third canto that process of creation spoken there, isn't it? Primary creation we are talking about now. Pradhanam Mahatattvam, it all comes from Maya, isn't it? From Maya comes Pradhanam Mahatattvam, and then it comes into three different kinds of ego. Satya Ahangaram comes. Ahangaram comes into three different levels. Satya Ahangaram, Rajas Ahangaram, Tamas Ahangaram. So naturally a yogi who has understood that process of creation and he is able to perform dharana on that level of Mahatattvam, able to understand what the Mahatattvam means, is something beyond our imagination. It's not something to be done with our imagination. But it's, if you want more details about Mahatattvam and all, that's available in the how in that process. They are available in Brahma Sutram, and some Upanishads also talks about that. So those who are able to practically bring that into their experience, he says here, Mahatattva Upadhi. That means Mahatattvam is also an Upadhi for Krishna. When Krishna comes to this world, that means all this what Krishna has created are Krishna's Upadhis, isn't it? Although Krishna is totally spiritual, the Upadhis that has come from the soul are Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam is the soul of Brahman's Upadhi. Brahman has, Krishna is Brahman. Brahman, what we call Brahman as we say in English. So Brahman's Upadhi is Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam is Brahman's Upadhi, isn't it? Maya is another Upadhi, comes from Brahman. And through using Maya, using Mahatattvam, various things are done. Various things are done. So, in that process, Mahatattvam Upadhi, if one can focus on that, Krishna is saying here that Mahima Siddhi will come to him. And also, Bhudanam cha prathak prathak. In other words, one who can perform that dharana, Bhudobhadi. Bhudobhadi means based on these different material elements, if one can perform the Ubhadi on that, dharana on that, then he will reach that Mahatattvam stage of that particular Bhudam, Panchabhudam. Panchabhudam has come from Mahatattvam. Panchabhudam has come from Mahatattvam. So, by performing dharana based on that Panchabhudam, one can come to the state of Mahatattvam. Krishna says here, Mahimana Mavapnodi Bhudanam cha Prithak Prithak. So, Mahima, this Siddhi called Mahima, that means Anima, like Krishna says, Anima Mahima. Mahima means to expand, become big. So Mahatattvam is what? Big. Brihat. Listen, Brihat is Mahatattvam. So in order to become that big, you have to perform dharana on the Mahatattvam. You have to perform dharana on the Mahatattvam. If you perform dharana on the most subtle form, you become the smallest. If you perform dharana on the most biggest one, you become the big. Everything is the mind that does it. This is how the power of the mind is. How to manipulate the mind, or how to utilize the mind properly. Utilizing the mind, if we perform on the most subtle form, you can become the the smallest one. Similarly, if you can focus on the dharana on the most expanded form, gross form of Mahatattvam, if you perform your dharana, you can become big. You can become big. So, because Mahatattvam is the biggest tattvam. Mahat, it is big. Biggest tattvam. Everything in the most gross form is Mahatattvam. Everything in the most gross form. So, when you expand in that way, you can take that form. When you expand in the most subtle way, you can become the smallest. That's all. That's what it is basically means. Mahatyalpan mai bhare yatha samstam mano dhadat. Mahimanam avapnodi bhudhanam cha prutak prutak. Then, Krishna is saying, paramanumayen chittam bhutanam mairanjayan kala sushmarthadam yogi lekhimanam avapnuyad. So, bhudhanam paramanumayi chittam ranjayan kala sushmadam kala sushmarthadarupam lekhimanam avapnuyad. In other words, he says that five material elements, if you take their most smallest form, paramanu means the smallest form of fire, smallest form of air, smallest form of water, on that if you can perform the dharana on that, then you will acquire that particular siddhi, kala paramanu bhadi rupada. That means lighter than the lightest, lightness to the body will happen with that. That lightness comes from that. That means you take the smallest part of any of the material elements, and if you perform dharana on that, Krishna is saying here that you will, that as the upadhi. Upadhi means that is your medium through which you are performing the dharana, that particular form, the smallest form of the material element, and then you can acquire that lighter than the lightest. Paramanumaye chittam bhudhanam mairanjayan kala sushmarthadam yogi lekhimanam avapnuyad dharayan mayaham tatve mano vaigarige akhilam sarve indriyanam atmatvam praptim prapnodi manmanaha dharayan mayaham tatve mano vaigarige akhilam sarvendriyanam atmatvam praptim prapnodi manmanaha വൈകാരികെ അഹം തത്വേ മൈ മനഃ അഖിലം ധാരയൻ മൻ മനാഹ സർവേന്ദ്രിയാണോ ആത്മത്വം പ്രാപ്തി പ്രാപ്നോതി. നൗ യു നോ ദാറ്റ് ദി ഫോർ അഹങ്കാരം വിച്ച് കം ഫ്രം മഹത്തത്വം ദാറ്റ് വിച്ച് ഹസ് ഗോട്ട് ത്രീ ഡിപ്പാർട്ട്മെന്റ്സ് ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് സാത്വിക അഹങ്കാരം, രാജസഹങ്കാരം, താമസഹങ്കാരം. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ മിക്സ്ഡ് വിത്ത് മോഡ് ഓഫ് ഗുഡ്നെസ്, സാത്വികാഹങ്കാരം, മോഡ് ഓഫ് പാഷൻ രാജസഹങ്കാരം, ആൻഡ് മോഡ് ഓഫ് ഇഗ്നോറൻസ് താമസഹങ്കാരം. ഫ്രം സാത്വികാഹങ്കാരം മൈൻഡ് ഹാസ് കം, ആൻഡ് രാജസഹങ്കാരം സെൻസസ് ഹവ് കം, ആൻഡ് താമസഹങ്കാരം, കൃഷ്ണ വിൽ ടോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ലേറ്റർ ഓൾസോ, ദാറ്റ് ദി ഗ്രോസ് ബോഡി ഹാസ് കം. സോ മെറ്റീരിയൽ എലിമെൻറ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഗ്രോസ് ബോഡി ഹാസ് കം ഫ്രം താമസഹങ്കാരം. And intelligence, mind has come from the Satya Ahankaram. And that Satya Ahankaram, if one makes it as a upadhi, if he can focus on that Satya Ahankaram and the mind is concentrated on that, he will acquire that special capacity, able to control all the senses, and prapti, that siddhi he will acquire. That's what Krishna is saying here. That, you remember that siddhi, what Krishna spoke about that? Prapti. Prapti indriyaihi, he says. Anima, mahima, lekhima, he spoke. Now he's saying about prapti. Indriya prapti, in other words. How to control all the senses. All dharana. Naturally, you can see in yoga process, the important thing is how to control the mind. We should be able to use the mind to such degree and such a strength inside to focus on all these things. So he says here, Dharayan mayaham tatve mano vaigarige akhilam sarvendriyanam atmatvam praptim praapnodi manmana satyahangara ubhadi. Satyahangaram came the mind. Mind came from satyahangaram. So if the mind can go back to that satyahangaram and perform dharana there, he will acquire this special quality of controlling all the senses. And that is what is controlling all the senses, and not controlling senses in the sense that their senses will do what you want them to do, anything in this world. And that power, which is called prapti, that siddhi will come to him. Dharayanmayaham tatve mano vaigarige ekhilam sarvendriyanam almatvam praptim praapnodi manmana mahatyalpaniya sutre dharayanmaimanasam pragashyam parameshtyam me bindade avyakta janmanah. Mahatyalpaniya sutre dharayanmaimanasa pragashyam parameshtyam me bindade avyakta janmanah. Ya mahatyalpani sutre mai manasam dharayet sa avyakta janmana mama pragashyam bindade. When one performs dharana on the sutratma is jiva, as it is called, is sutratma, and this sutratma has capacity for kriya shakti means able to execute work in this world. So when one performs dharana of the mind based on that sutratma inside, and if he succeeds in that, if he becomes perfect, then he will acquire this capacity of prakashyam, what Krishna spoke there, isn't it? After, if you listen there, praptirendriya prakashyam shruta drushteshu, he says. Prakashyam shruta drushteshu. So, mahatyalpani sutre mai manasam dharayet. That sutralpa as the upadhi. Upadhi is necessary. Through that upadhi, if one brings the mind into that, he has to bring the mind into that sutralpa, and perform dharana there, and fully absorbed in that dharana, concentrate on that, then he will acquire this prakashyam siddhi. Vishnu tradishware chittam dharayet kala vigrahe sa ishuttam avapnodi kshetra kshetratnya chodanam. Vishnu tradishware chittam dharayet kala vigrahe sa ishuttam avapnodi kshetra kshetratnya chodanam. Tradishware kala vigrahe Vishno yaha chittam dharayet saha kshetra kshetratnya chodana rupam ishutvam avapnodi. Krishna is saying that when your dharana is based on Vishnu, who is the controller of the three modes of material nature, and who is the super soul in everyone, and who controls everyone, one who is able to perform dharana on that Vishnu, and he will acquire this particular siddhi known as Ishitvam. That prayer siddhi called Ishitvam. So what is this Ishitvam? He will get the power to encourage anyone to do anything they want from them. That is Ishitvam. That is Ishitvam. Ishitvam is that capacity. To encourage others to do what you want them to do. To influence others in that way. That is Ishitvam. So Krishna says that but you have to perform as knowing Vishnu as the Antaryami in everyone and controller of the modes of material nature, three modes of nature. In that way, if you are able to focus on Vishnu, on that aspect of Vishnu, and if dharana is performed in that way, this yoga siddhi will come to him.
Narayane turiyakhe bhagaval chadda shabdhide manomaya dhadadhyogi madharma vashidamiyan. Narayane turiyakhe bhagaval chadda shabdhide manomaya dhadadhyogi madharma vashidamiyan. Turiyakhe bhagaval chadda shabdhide narayane mai mana athadadhyogi madharma vashidamiyan. He says here that Krishna has a form which is known as Hiranyagarbham. Isn't it? In the creation process, you will study that in the second canto. Hiranyagarbha Upasana, it's called. There is a golden egg spoken there. That is called Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is that. Hiranyagarbha Upasana is that.
then a golden egg in the process of creation, which broke up, and from there Purusha came out. It talks about that. In the second canto, you can read that in the Bhagavatam.
So that Hiranyagarbha Upasana, or Virad form, Krishna's universal form, that's one, or Ishvara, Karanobhadiyama Ishvara, Karanobhadi Ishvara, which means that these three things, Virad Rupam, Hiranyagarbha Rupam, Ishvara form, these three we have to understand what they are. Virad form, generally you can say it is a universal form. Virad form is a universal form. Virad Rupa Darshanam they call it, isn't it? Visharupa Darshanam, in other words. So in the Bhagavatam, you will notice that when Sukadeva Goswami started talking about creation, this is the first appearance of, we normally say fish incarnation, tortoise incarnation, boar incarnation as Krishna's incarnation in that sequence, isn't it? But actually prior to all that, first incarnation is this Virad incarnation, Virad form. Virad form is this universal form. That was the first incarnation of Krishna. It's after that all other incarnation comes. But because it is done through Maya's source, it is not counted as one of direct incarnations from Krishna. That is the reason behind it. So that incarnation, that Virad form, or universal form of Krishna, and then the second one what mentions here is the Hiranyagarbham form of the creation when it happened. You have to read the second canto again to know these things. Then similarly, Krishna is present in this world as Ishvara, controller of everything. That is one aspect of Krishna, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there this statement, Ishvara sarva bhudanam hrideshe arjuna tishtadi. So Ishvara is Krishna's one incarnation in that sense. Incarnation in the sense that it's a functional aspect of Krishna. Krishna does not, it is based on this potency, he is called Ishvara, that he can control everyone, sitting in everyone's heart, he controls everybody. Sarva bhudanam hrideshe arjuna tishtadi, brahmayan sarva bhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. That's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? 18th chapter. So controlling nature, this is one incarnation of Krishna, that's called Ishvara. So here, it says here, that knowing that Krishna's position is beyond these three, which one? Virad form, Hiranyagarbha form, or the Ishvara form. Beyond them that, and remembering and performing dharana in that form of Krishna. In that form of Krishna. Here, all that separation is necessary. Krishna and Krishna's different potencies, different energies, what's working in this world. So if this more information on all these things is in the Yoga Sutra. Yoga Sutra will tell you more about it, because that's the authority on the Ashtanga Yoga. So they'll talk about that. So beyond all these three appearances of Virat form and Hiranyagarbha form or the Ishvara form, beyond that, higher than that is Krishna's form. That form, when performs dharana, he will acquire this quality, siddhi, known as Vashita, what we talked about before. Narayana Turiyake Bhagavad Shadda Shabdide Mano Mayadhada Dhyogi Madharma Vashidam Yad Madharma Vashidam Nirgune Brahmani Mai Dharayan Mishadam Mana Paramanandamapnodi Yatrakamo Avasiyade Nirgune Brahmani Mai Dharayan Mishadam Mana Paramanandamapnodi Yatrakamo Avasiyade Nirgune Brahmani Mai Vishadam Mana Dharayan Yatrakamo Avasiyade Tam Paramanandamapnodi. If you accept Krishna's that particular aspect, which one? Nirgunam abarichinnam, Brahmam aspect. Nirguna aspect, impersonal Brahmam. Impersonal Brahmam aspect. And abarichinnam, which has no, doesn't break up, it is one. Akhanda Sachidananda Swarupam, which cannot be broken. In that way, if you can perform your mind dharana in that aspect of Krishna, and all desires gets finished there, that he will experience that particular yatra kama vasiyate, he will experience that paramanandam, ultimate happiness in that dharana. So basically this chapter is about dharana and the siddhis that comes from that.
So we'll continue with that next Sunday. There is quite a few more verses in that chapter. Krishna talks about that. And ultimately Krishna will say that all these are not of much use. You should not work for them. Krishna says, don't. You'll see at the end. Andarayan Madandiyada, if you look into verse 33. So don't have to get disappointed. Oh, I don't have any siddhi. You don't have to feel bad about it. Krishna says at the word 33, if you look, the verse. Andarayan Madandiyada yunjado yoga muttamam maya sambadhyama anasya kalakshavanahe tavam. He says, Mahatmas are saying that all these siddhis are problems. They'll cause only problems. That devotee or the yogi who is practicing a particular yogam, jnanam, yogam or karmam or bhakti, whatever process he is performing, and who wants to come back to me, for him all these siddhis will delay the process, delay the whole thing. So we'll discuss that next day, Sunday. After 10 minutes, we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita.